Welcome to the BetWithJames.com Horse Racing Podcast, a podcast bringing you the best news, odds, interviews, and race analysis from across the UK and Ireland, all in one place. And now, here's your host, James Constantine.
Hello and welcome to the BetWithJames.com Horse Racing Podcast. How exciting is it? We're only one day now away from the Cheltenham Festival and everybody's getting excited. It's the greatest race festival of the whole racing calendar. It's in fact the greatest racing week of the whole calendar. And what better way to mark it by doing special podcasts every single day? I'll be giving a preview on the BetWithJames.com Horse Racing Podcast, giving you some non-gravy train, non-bookmaker affiliated horse racing previews. Now today I have Michael Andrews on the podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at MyTentorYours. He is a manager and commentator for German Racing Review and he is working for Cheltenham TV this week, so he'll be down at the racecourse. Now, the main thing about tomorrow is that there is a huge amount of Mullins hot pots at very short price favourites. So Michael is steaming in and bringing us a preview of the Supreme Novices, the Arkle, and a race 3, 6 and 7 handicaps from the Cheltenham Day 1 Festival. There's one thing on Michael's mind and that's value, so let's get across and listen to what he thinks about the Supreme Novices tomorrow.
Supreme is the curtain raiser to the Cheltenham Festival, and you've obviously got to start off with Duvan, who is currently unbeaten over hurdles. Obviously only had the couple of starts when he beat Sizing John by a sizeable 12 lengths, and then he won that Grade 2 at Punchestown. But the thing is with Duvan, you've got to conclude it's an obvious chance. He's done everything so easily, but it's very similar to Vautour and also Forheen last year, and you can go back to a few Mullins hot pots in years previous. There's no real form behind it. If you go back to the group, the Grade 2 that you won, I think we've had four runs of the others in behind, and we've had one win, and that was, it was a good race. It was a Rock on the Moor beat Analife, but that was over a lot further, and he asserted on the run-in. You could suggest that he obviously needed further when he was behind Duvan that day. It's all about the potential on that one, and I think you've got to take them on, unless you've got a really nice anti-post selection, like I did on Vautour last year. You've got to take them on. With the others, I think Shane's Hill is really nice, but would prefer to go to the Neptune. I thought he didn't like the ground last time, so I think he's really going to appreciate the ground here, but I prefer him to go to the Neptune. Seedling definitely deserves that one's chance, and I think Sizing John is quite a nice each-way type. But the horse I've fallen for is Talis Moore, who obviously was very short price for the Neptune before he was beaten over 2.5 miles last time out. But before that, and including in that race, I was really impressed with the way he travels and the way he jumps as well. It's very slick, he has a very high cruising speed, and he actually had a lot of the horses at it last time out when he was outstayed by a horse called McKinley, who might run also in the Supreme, over 2.5 miles on soft ground. If you look at the race and you go to the fourth from home, he's asked to stretch by Brian Cooper, like he's just lets out a length of rein, and he goes and he jumps the flight really, really slickly. And I was really impressed, mainly with that jump, but also with his jump. Even when he was under pressure at the final flight, his jumping seems to be really good. And I think under pressure, his would stand the test a lot better than some of the others. So I think especially if he was allowed to bowl out in front over 2 miles back at what I think is his optimum trip, I think he's got a lot of speed and a lot of capability. I think he could have a lot of them at it early on with some slick jumping, just like Vautour did last year. And so tell us more, about 16 to 1 would be my selection for the Supreme.
Michael gives you a big juicy tip and tell us more double figure prices against the short Duvan tomorrow. Favourites don't have a great record in this race, and it's really interesting what Michael says about his form. He's never come off the bridle, he's beat horses in Ireland that have been okay, but he's not done anything really incredible. So this race will be really interesting to see how he gets on. Now let's move from the Supreme Novices to an even more intriguing race, and that's the Arkle with the hot pot under sow. Here's Michael's views.
The Arkle looks to be at the mercy of the Mullins and Walsh Brigade once more, probably the same as the first race is if Duvan goes in. And under so at 4-7 is looking a very, very solid selection. I won't be betting on it at 4-7. I think there's the slight chance that he sounds like the kind of horse that you would play slay but back. I think if he doesn't win, it's very unlikely he's either sulked during the race, which I find unlikely, or he's fallen, which perhaps I find a bit more likely. The horse that I think who's been beaten by him already is Clarkham. I was obviously getting weight that last time, but I think Clarkham's quite a solid each-way selection. It's about 12, 14 to 1, I think you can get in places. And I think each way, that's actually not a bad shout, because under so, there's no value really left there. I'm not a massive fan of Vibrato Veltat. Vautour is obviously going to go to the JLT. Joss's Hill, his jumping, has been very disappointing. And I think the race is actually quite weak outside, to be honest, outside under so. This would be a weak Arkle if it wasn't for under so and his very powerful reputation that he's bringing to Cheltenham. If I was to have a massive each way, it would be God's Own at about 40 to 1. I think you can get bigger prices on Betfair, etc. But I think he's actually got a really good record on fast ground. And even he's won his last twice on fast ground, and that was in a grade one at Punchestown. And then he also beat Q-Card Boulder Soussay on his comeback run at Exeter, when he was actually cut for the Arkle to be about 5-1, and now he's all the way out to 40-1. Obviously, he's put in some very disappointing efforts since, but that was on soft ground behind Dodgy Bullets at Sandown, and also behind Vibrato Veltat at Kempton. But I think on good ground, if he's actually, you know, if he's brought into it with this as his main aim, as opposed to later on, when perhaps you could argue that the horses last year were slightly over the top. He beat Boulder Soussay and also Champagne Fever at Punchestown that day. When you think of that, Boulder Soussay and is going to the Ryanair, and Champagne Fever is going to go to the Champion Chase. That's obviously the cream of the crop, really. And he beat those horses. So you'd expect he should be a bit shorter than 40-1 in an Arkle. And for that reason, I'd be going Clarkham and God's Own each way. And so, really, it'd be nice to see him absolutely dot up.
Follow us on Twitter at LayWithJames for the latest updates throughout the day from BetWithJames.com.
The other races on the card, in the race 3 handicap, I backed Hollywell last year, and it's an important point to take into account. Hollywell, first of all, only goes well if that one's wearing blinkers. Has an excellent record wearing blinkers. Obviously wore the blinkers at Kelso last time, dotted up. Hopefully he'll run better in the Gold Cup. I'm not sure if it's enough, because I think the Gold Cup is competitive, perhaps not as classical as it could have been in the Corto and Denman years. So it's good to take into account headgear. That's actually paid quite well in the last couple of years. First-time headgear is very important. In the Race 3 handicap, the Druid's Nephew sticks out for me, along with Mendip Express. Barry Begarity is already booked for Druid's Nephew and has an excellent record. According to At The Races, I've got 6 rides with 4 wins and 1 place. Obviously, he rode the Young Masters to success a few times. In fact, that the one that's missing there from 6 rides, 4 wins, 1 place, the one could be when he was disqualified on the Young Master. I'll have to check that. But that's an excellent strike rate for the yard for Neil Mulholland. I think he's very much been plotted for this. He was 7th in the Hennessy. Obviously, the Hennessy form has worked out pretty well this year. And then he was 5th in the Cleve. He was beaten a fair way both occasions, but in a handicap such as this, you'd expect him to be a lot closer. Mendip Express is my other selection. I really, really like this horse. I was really gutted when he got beat by Oscar Tyne at the Beecher Chase. Will Biddick is obviously a positive. He takes £3 off, which is going to take a little bit off his weight, which is really useful. And I think it was just a pipe opener last time when he was beat by a pretty decent type in Beast of Burden as well for Rebecca Curtis. So Mendip Express and Drew's Nephew, they're not massive prices in the handicap, but I think they're very much horses that are well handicapped, especially the Drew's Nephew.
Subscribe to the BetWithJames.com free daily email, giving you access to exclusive content, updates, and so much more.
In the 4-miler in the last handicap, I think Sega Success for Alan Kingyard has got an excellent chance, especially when you consider they won this last year. And he's followed a similar preparation, Midnight Prayer last year, won at Warwick before he came on to take the 4-miler, and that's exactly where Sega Success won on his last start. Of the others, I think Cause of Cause has obviously stayed on in the Fulk Whirlwind last year when beaten by a very nice horse in Spring Heeled. I think that horse is going to go to the Grand National this year. I think Cause of Cause is going to stay the 4 miles. He's obviously stayed some trips over heavy ground, so I think his stamina isn't a question. So I think personally it'd be between those two. They're quite short in the market, but between Sago Success and Cause of Causes. In the handicap, Thomas Crapper is the obvious selection. He was second in the Martin Pipe last year, clearly loves Cheltenham, and he's ran some really nice races in defeat this year, beaten by some really nice types who are going to graded races. These include being beaten a length by Vibrato Velta at Warwick, and then he was beaten a few lengths by Three Kingdoms at Leicester, a cup, 13 by Irish Saint at Ascot, and then he was, I think he ran below par next time behind Third Intention at Kempton in February. But I think he's got a really good chance. He loves Cheltenham. He's got a great record here. He was only beaten by Don Poley in the Martin Pipe last year. And this is obviously a lot easier than the kind of graded races, I suppose you could suggest, considering where the horses he's been beating by are going for races that he's contested this year. Of the others, I think Leap Dirk's got an interesting chance. It's a difficult handicap, this. He made a bad mistake at the last time out, and he won over 2 miles, giving over a stone to the second, called Smoky Jojo, who's quite a nice horse in himself. So I think Leap Dirk could be slightly overpriced. I do like Knock House, but I'm not convinced enough. Maybe it'd be something I'd do as an impulse bet on the day. But for me, Thomas Crapper and Leap Dirk are the two to be having in the finale.
So there you have it. There's some roundup of some of the most intriguing races tomorrow. We purposely left out the Champion Hurdle and the Mayor's Hurdle because there was no real value in those races. Everything that needs to be said has been said on them. In terms of the Champion Hurdle, Jezky was the each way play, but now he's as short as 9-2. The new one doesn't offer value, and the value in Fahin has been sucked out already. And of the other players, there doesn't seem to be a lot. Hurricane Fly is obviously one for the sentiment backers, but everyone believes it's a foregone conclusion that he won't be winning tomorrow. And of the Mare's Hurdle, Annie Power is the absolute banker. Nobody's ever hidden how well she's been going at home. Look at pictures of her from Willie Mullins' open date. She looks as fit as a fiddle. Now, he's done it with Corvega. I have no doubts he can do it with Annie Power. I know she runs free sometimes, but if she loses tomorrow, I think that would be actually the biggest shock of all of the races. Now, with only 24 hours to go, you've been given some big juicy prices for day one at Cheltenham. Don't forget, the BetWithJames.com horse racing podcast will be here every single weekday, giving you a preview of the Cheltenham Festival race days. Now, I must say a big thank you to Michael Andrews for coming on the podcast. You can follow him at My Tent or Yours. Very good Twitter handle. It's been great to have him on, and it's great to get people involved in the podcast, and it's exactly what I want. So if you like the sound of this, you want to have your voice on the podcast, please send me a message on the website. Also, don't forget you can follow the podcast through iTunes, or if you have an iPhone, you can click on the podcast app and type in Bet with James on the search bar and subscribe to my podcast through there. Please retweet the hell out of this and share it amongst your followers, and that would be so greatly appreciated. So that's all from me and Michael the day before the Cheltenham Festival. We're all really looking forward to it. Make sure you look for the value, and don't forget, those bookmakers will be pushing out horses every single day on the festival. So if you're thinking about taking a short price on a horse, hold fire perhaps until the morning and you may get a special deal. But that's all from BetWithJames.com on day one. Enjoy the festival, tweet us your bets, and have a great day.
You've been listening to the BetWithJames.com horse racing podcast. Listen every single weekday for the best news, odds, interviews, and race analysis to keep you ahead of the game.